welcome to D&D&D, the Dinner Party Role-Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, James Gressel, and with me today are my very best friends in the world, the people who I am so happy to share this story with. We call them the fun people. Say hi, fun people.
Hey!
That was unexpectedly sweet.
That's the nicest you've ever been to us in the intro.
Yeah.
Turning a new leaf, it's a new era.
You're metaphorically kicking us in the face while you intro us.
Usually I'm rushing through it as fast as I can. this is a unique episode. This is not only the season 4 premiere, it is our first Spotify exclusive episode.
Yeah.
It is also the first episode that we have recorded after seeing each other for the first time since the beginning of March.
So that's 7 months of not seeing or hanging out with you guys.
Yes.
And we hung out with you guys
last night. That the last time before last night that all of us were together in person was Mike and Beth's wedding.
Mm-hmm. It would have been
shortly
wrestling
thereafter.
It was
stuff
Sunday.
Related to it.
Yeah, Sunday, the day after, was the wrestling thing.
Yeah, like wedding-like fun
weekend,
stuff.
Though.
The wedding weekend,
Wedding.
What a way to start matrimony.
With the biggest test of all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, Gressel moved in with me and James, mm-hmm. so we got our own little social pod, and then Beth and Mike got tested, and then, uber quarantined so that we could all hang out safely.
That was wild.
It was pretty, it was so weird.
It felt so good.
So yeah. It felt so good.
Necessary.
Yeah.
Like at this point, if it's going to be going on for this long, humans need to see other people. Uh-huh. You just do it in as safe a way as you can. This sucks.
I was talking to Mike about this right after we came home. I didn't remember how good Gressel's cooking was. even just the salad dressing that he put together for the side salad
and
dinner.
Proud of that salad dressing.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Yes, there's still leftovers of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Nice.
Our fridge is very full.
Yes, it is.
That's a lot of people sharing.
That's on the to-do list tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gressel, hold on. I want to tell everybody. Gressel.
Yeah. Okay.
Yesterday made us all pizzas. And James and Chelsea.
Like the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like the first episode.
This season premieres. Pizza.
And when Mike says pizza, what Gressel made wasn't just pizza, you guys. Gressel made artisanal, proper. Is there a name for what you did?
They're Neapolitan style
pizzas.
Pizza oven, cooked them in 900 and something degrees.
At how long did it take to cook a pie?
About 60 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. So Gressel brings over a dish and has each of us grab one. And James and Chelsea are giving the tour of their house. And I left the tour and went into the kitchen and told Gressel how good the pizza was, how good the bread was, because it was so freaking good.
Cool, I guess the tool just wasn't good enough to keep
the
house.
That's not no.
Dude, Gressel, you know what you need to get is eventually when you have your own crazy ass kitchen that I know you're gonna just trick out with upgrades, and you have to get one of those pizza ovens that you see at I don't even know if they would be authentic Italian restaurants or not, but the types of ovens where it's shaped like a mouth and it kind of looks like a creepy face.
That's what this thing's supposed to mimic.
But those are they're shaped like faces.
Yeah, for sure. The brick oven, wood-fired pizza ovens. Yeah, that's dream for sure.
Oh my god, Gressel, that's all your friends. You live in the kitchen and all of your appliances have faces and you talk to them.
That's the show we need. If you want that show, check out our Patreon.
The one place that they do have them for sure is at the Epcot Italian. See, that's what I mean. Are they authentic? Because the picture I found when I Googled these is from Epcot. But I know they exist elsewhere as well.
Yeah, that's the oven that I got, the backyard version is trying to mimic that, but I did. I made pizzas. That is the other part of this show, the dinner party aspect. The story is inspired by food that I want to make for my lovely friends, the fun people. And when I first started the show, the thing that made me want to play that to me when I was a kid, playing D&D was pizza. It was, we would get, my friends and I, when I was 12 or whatever, would get a Little Caesar's pizza in Metro Detroit and Country Time lemonade, and we would play D&D for hours on summer nights. Now, fast forward to our adult lives, I made this very fancy pizza, but still wanted to share it with my friends as we play this game and tell this story, and that is what this is all about. It's how can I combine the things I'm passionate about, storytelling and cooking for people I care about, to create a story as delicious as the food, hopefully. We're going to get into it. We did. We had pizza and salad. That is kind of our season premiere meal, and has been since we started the show.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Have we done that every time?
Mm-hmm. Season three was the watermelon, I think, but that was, I believe, because I messed up dough.
Oh yeah.
And I messed up too, dough. That watermelon.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
I just can't stop looking at pictures of cool ovens that are shaped like stuff.
Oh, that's my life. Welcome. Yeah, just cool kitchen things. <That's>...
Like this one's shaped like a dragon.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's so cool.
I want that one.
I don't know why I'm so obsessed with weird Italian kitchens. Like not even authentic at all.
It's because like, we grew up going to Olive Garden. You know?
See, I didn't though. Oh. That was not allowed. My house wasn't real Italian food.
Well, maybe we'll do unlimited salad and breadsticks one of these days.
Oh my gosh.
Do we want to introduce ourselves?
You want to start?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm one of the two women players on this team. My name's Beth. I play Mardridge Styx, who's a very old halfling rogue.
I'm James. But not DM James. I'm James A. Janisse. I play Flack. He's a gnome. He's a bard. His brain doesn't work with empathy, but he's fun. I like him.
We all like Flack.
I'm Chelsea. Chelsea Rebecca, which is my last name. And I play Zabbis, who's a teen boy elf sorcerer warlock. My team, I mean, he's like 70, he's like almost 80 now because we've been playing for a few years.
Whoa, are we gonna have a Zabbis
like
birthday?
Oh my god,
Zabbis's 80th birthday.
Zabbis would hate it.
He would hate it. Just like, that's a thing where we are very similar because I'm so weird about like birthday, like doing something, you know, chill for a birthday is fine, but I hate having happy birthday sung at me, mm-hmm. and being the center of attention like that, where I'm like, it's not, I didn't do anything. It's like a weird, it's weird. It's all very weird.
Hi, I'm Mike, Mike Seigen, and I play Fletch Stormtail, who is a wood elf ranger. Hopefully this season we can call me Stormy. And have that catch so we don't have Beth confused every single time she says Fletch and Flack.
Why is it always me? I'm the only one who can't get Fletch and Flack straight.
I always have to think about it.
I just cut out when I mess it up.
That's so rude, dude.
It's only partially true.
I mean, if my friends were compassionate, they would put their names next to their names on Zoom, and that would be really easy for me.
Yours says Ham.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's a different D&D campaign.
I play everybody, so I can't.
Oh, you
do
don't
that.
Play Flack.
I don't play Flack.
Yeah, you don't play Margarine, dude.
I play everybody else who's not one of the four of you. But yeah, the team, as we affectionately call them, of Fletch and Flack and Margarine and Zabbis, have been on an adventure for several years now. And now we are going to rejoin them as the adventure continues. You guys ready?
Yeah. Has it been years?
Yeah, in game, how long's it been?
In game, it has been.
That changes if I'm having an 80th birthday.
In game, it has been a little over 2 years.
Wow.
Damn.
Because of time jumps when you went through portals.
Oh, it's like Interstellar, where time is just all.
Yeah, people celebrated Zabbis' birthday, but Zabbis hasn't actually turned 80 as far as his experience.
Yeah.
But yes, it has been roughly 2.5-3 years since you guys all met each other. It is now, we have a calendar now, so here is the date. It's Cures Day, the 1st of Anadan in Night's Pass.
What does that even mean?
You're just saying random syllables, dude.
It's a fantasy world with a fantasy calendar. You want me to say it's October 23rd? Because that's not fun for everyone. And the whole mantra of the podcast is do what's fun.
Cures Day.
Here's the calendar for you guys to all look at. It is an 8-month calendar with 8 days a week.
Ooh, I need your love.
And okay, 36 so days in a month.
It being 2 years, though.
And yet, every day still ends in Y.
Yep.
And day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's all only right, so many ways to reinvent the wheel.
Some of these words here. Saphadon, Goldon, Rubdon. Oh, they're all different kinds of gems.
Yep.
Oh, all these dons?
I think Void's Day sounds crazy as
what's your Hey, yeah. guys, what's your favorite day of the year? Because mine is definitely Tums Day in the month of Oneidon. I love Tums Day.
I love Tums Day,
it's
too,
when my
dude.
Stomach feels the best.
Mm-hmm.
Anadon. I just said it.
Yeah, I think Sardonyx. I would have to go Void's Day.
I like
Void's Day.
Opadon.
Opadon. Opadon.
Did it restain Opadon?
When you accidentally bump into the Italian boss. Opadon.
Opadon.
You guys have been doing this from day one, where when I try to do fantasy shit, you just shit all over it.
No, it's good. I only make fun because I'm insecure and I can't come up with it on my own.
Exactly.
I literally, the last thing we did together where I had to think, oh no, I gotta come up with a name for something. And I instantly went, I'll find a random name generator. I can't just think of stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm just good at regurgitating things that other people have made. So that's why I poke fun.
I'm so bad at that. So I have to come up with my own shit because I cannot remember things that other people say.
Opdon.
I like, yeah. Opdon on So Friends Day. So Friends Day.
So Friends Day.
The Bothsby. What is the name of this thing? The Bothsby Break Iron Calendar.
He's the dwarven scientist who devised this calendar.
Oh, that's fun. Calendars are really.
She just goes on a deep dive through different faces on calendars.
Calendar, Wikipedia.
She can put in her kitchen.
I was reading about calendars the other night. Like, not a joke. I was reading about why we got July and August and stuff. And it's interesting.
Yep. I went on that journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another manic Mirrors Day.
Cause all's day I'm in the
Grussel has just been sitting here waiting for us to stop riffing on his earnest creation.
I'm so glad to have spent the better part of the summer working on all of this elaborate world building.
Everybody's going to remember Void's Day now.
Yeah.
Void's Day is really cool.
Void's Day terrifies me.
I want to be... I mean, that's kind of what...
Pick your birthday.
End of the week feels like. Like, Void's Day is such a Sunday, you know?
I feel like at the end of Void's Day, like everyone goes under. Like, everyone gets general anesthesia, and then...
It's the day of rest, but it's too much rest.
But it's like Sunday scaries.
Void's Day scaries.
Like, you heard... that phrase before.
I've never.
Yeah, where it's like, it's Sunday, sure. But I can't even enjoy it because I have work the next tomorrow, day. Yep. It's a Sunday scaries. It sucks. But that's such void state.
I can relate.
Feelings.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it's not void state today.
Mm-mm.
Today, it's Cures Day. And it's the first of Onidon, which is the beginning of the autumn quarter of the Boothsby Break Iron calendar. And it's an important day in Knight's Pass, the city in which you guys are in, and the city in which Margarine is from.
My hometown.
And it's very busy this time of year in Knight's Pass because everybody is preparing for the annual Harvest Festival. At the beginning of autumn, all the farmers and artisans and craftspeople from all over the Moonshadow Valley put on a glorious display of the growing season's bounty and give thanks for another year of sustenance. It's a big deal in Moonshadow because the very large halfling population that lives in the valley is a really big farming community. The Grocers Guild, the Halfling Grocers Guild, you guys know, is a big deal in the city of Knight's Pass, and the halfling community really takes pride in what they grow and what they can share with the people of the city this time of year.
As they should.
In the north of the city, however, on an unassuming street in the neighborhood of Acorn's Corner, inside a mansion that once housed a great evil, a team of adventurers is plotting its next move.
Is that us?
That's us.
We're plotting?
That's us.
I know, plotting.
You're just tuning in. Yes, we do live in a mansion, but we stole it. So
we bought it with our money.
We did buy it. Yeah.
It just happens to be that we killed the person who owned it in the first place, yes. And no one really knows that that's true.
Oh, because he was an awful person.
Yeah.
And terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your story. And you're sticking to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been about 3 years since Margarine Styx, a thief and rogue, offered some candy to her traveling companions while traveling home to Knight's Pass.
For the first time.
Yep. Little did she know that her return to the city where she grew up would lead her to an adventure that would take her all over the world. And it is now, these many years later, that Margarine has settled into this mansion that once belonged to a villain whom she helped take down and is perusing some of the important documents that she has obtained on her travels.
Oh, yeah. In one of my many pockets.
Perhaps you're sitting in the magic healing ball pit.
Ball pit.
While you're doing your work.
That's always where you can find Margarine in the mansion. She has a bedroom, but she doesn't care. She sleeps in the ball pit.
Bunch of people die there.
I have an idea for the ball pit.
What's up?
What is it, Zappas?
Oh, well, this is more of like a meta thing.
Okay, then never mind.
It would be so fun if every once in a while, because you know how like ball pits when you were a kid, there's always stuff at the bottom. Like stuff just finds its way down there. I just feel like every once in a while we should be able to like go look down there and
see what
anything,
fell out.
Yeah, like see if anything cool fell out of someone's pocket.
It's like the bottom of the couch cushions.
Little treats, yeah.
That is very fun.
I like that.
We can have some sort of weird claw game.
Yeah.
We know that Margarine would be in the ball pit, but where would Zabbis be? Would Zabbis be in the laboratory? Or trying to figure out how to open the mysterious door in the basement?
Probably that. Although it is tempting to want to work in the lab and it's like spooky October. But no, I'm going to... Okay, yeah, there's a mysterious door. Yeah, that's what I'm drawn to. Although I did try to take a class on lock picking and extremely flunked out. That was a bit ago.
Didn't I do pretty well in there?
I think everyone did except me, yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm gonna try and I'm like not the best character to be trying to lockpick anything, but maybe I can figure something out.
In the basement of this mansion, there is a mysterious door that no one has been able to open. It once belonged to the evil wizard who previously owned this mansion, and what horrors are behind this door, no one is sure of. But Zabbis, having very recently obtained new abilities by accepting the patronage of the one who is the goat, a mysterious being who emphasizes greatness, is now trying to do a great job opening this door.
Yes, we're gonna do a great job. Okay.
I guess just roll a 20 and see what happens.
I'm like just mentally flipping through my book of spells, like, nope, would destroy entire room. Nope, would kill self on accident. Nope. Okay, you said roll a 20?
Just to see if you can open the door.
A 20 of, or just general 20.
Yeah, because I don't think you have thieves' tools or anything.
I rolled a 15.
Nope. You.
That's like a C.
Yep,
plus.
You just pull on the door and continue.
After mentally monologuing, okay, it's time to be great. I'm going to think of a creative way to unlock this door, and then just pause and then grab the door.
Pull really hard. Credit card in the side of the thing. Yeah.
Well.
Fletch Stormtail grew up somewhat of a loner in the woods outside of the city. After his family and village were destroyed in a terrible storm, and came upon the team as they were being attacked by an owlbear many years ago. And now rededicated to the cause of adventure with the people who have become somewhat of a found family. He is, where's Fletch? Are you hanging out with Pete somewhere? Are you in the courtyard maybe?
Yeah, I think I'm outside of the mansion. I'm assuming the backyard. I don't know what the backyard looks like, but I want to be outside with nature. Mm-hmm. And ideally, I want to run this by you. I would like for me to be or have been casting plant growth. And this specifically would be an 8-hour casting period. Mm-hmm. So I would picture myself outside casting this thing, and it's supposed to, for 8 hours, I enrich all the plant life in the area. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how big this would be, or how, like, what the
radius is.
What the radius is, yeah. Because I because it's the harvest festival, I want to, like, help enrich the land. So,
oh, fun.
Yeah, so for 8 hours, if I do this, it'll enrich the soil and the plants for one whole year, and the plants yield twice the normal amount of food when harvested.
Oh, nice.
So I'd like to be giving back to the community.
Damn, dude.
I'll do one with nature.
I'm just thinking about how the outside of our new house needs that done. Like, come over and do that for real.
Okay.
Use some magic.
It's a half mile radius, so you can definitely get, like, a pretty good chunk of the city. Like, everybody's,
okay,
like,
that's what I want.
Home gardens now suddenly are doing pretty great.
I don't want to upset the, you know,
the balance of nature.
The balance of
someone just crushed my giant pumpkins.
I don't want to put anybody out of business by doing this or anything.
Yeah, dude, because you got to think local about economy. You know, they got to have some, like, gourd grown contests,
dude,
and then it's not fair for the people outside of the range
know.
Of your magic.
They don't know
the
that I'm doing it.
The shareholders of the grocers guild are going to expect the same amount of crops next year. What have we done?
Well, we'll have to deal with those consequences next year, I guess. But yeah, I don't want anybody to know that I'm doing this. I just want to, like, secretly be... Oops. I want to secretly be doing this.
Just subtly enhance the nearby plants.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And then finally, we have Flak Danson. The gnome bard who recently had a near-death experience, an actual death experience.
Yeah.
And was magically returned to life. Flak went through quite a transformation that we will get into later. But as part of this death and resurrection, all of your adventuring gear was destroyed. So Flak is running a little bit light in terms of the stuff in your inventory. So what is Flak doing around the mansion as you guys are prepping for your next adventure?
There's been a time jump, right?
Yeah.
Enough time for me to have gone into town to the instrument shop?
Yeah.
That I presume exists?
Yes, that definitely exists.
Okay. And also, Gerbert is still here in this house, right?
Yes, the niece of the realtor, Gerbert Merpert Realty, that you purchased the mansion from, the lizard folk realtor, his niece, Gerbert Merpert, has kind of taken up, not quite residence, but hangs around the mansion a lot as a kind of caretaker, and also quite smitten with Flack, she is. Has a little bit of a crush and hangs around to be near him. So she's around, but she kind of respectfully keeps her distance. She's not doting on you, not waiting on you hand and foot, but she's around. If you look at the like doorway, you might catch her.
Gerbert.
Hi. Yeah. Hey, Flack.
Hey, thought I saw you peeking around that corner over there. I was just in town. And I picked something up. So you know that we have the Harvest Festival coming up.
Oh, yeah. I love the Harvest Festival. It's one of my favorite times of year.
Yeah, of course. Me too. And I did notice that, they're having the big festival that's in town. And I was actually talking to some people in town. And everyone loves me here because, you know, we're heroes.
Yeah,
of course.
Big heroes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I asked. And I said, don't give me any special treatment just because of our heroic status. But I would like to know if you would be interested in having me perform some live music at the festival. And they were really into the idea.
Oh, you're going to have a concert? That sounds great.
Well, hold on. We're going to have a concert because I bought a hurdy-gurdy for you to learn and join me. As I uke it up.
Oh my god.
You bought her a whole ass hurdy-gurdy. Those are so expensive.
Hurdy-gurdy?
Aren't they big?
You son of a bitch. What made you think of getting her a hurdy-gurdy?
See if thieves.
Oh my god! Oh, this is incredible. My uncle actually is a very proficient hurdy gurdy player, but
no
I
shit.
I'm just all left thumbs, you know. So you might have to forgive me. I only know the basic chords, but you know. So if you keep it, kind, you know, I could maybe do rhythm.
Yeah, but no, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. That
okay?
Wow. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to get to share the stage with you. I mean, I would have been happy just to be some random in the crowd, but oh my god, wait.
Yeah, well now it's a lot more pressure. So, how about we have a little practice sesh?
Oh yeah, I get sure. Do you have sheet music? I'm not really proficient. And then she like turns the crank and it makes an off key sound.
No, we can just start with the basics.
Oh, okay. I'll have Gerbert roll performance, I guess. Oh, 16, not bad.
Great.
Yeah, she plays like whatever the hurdy-gurdy equivalent of Heart
Hot
and Soul
buns.
Is.
Oh.
Yeah, so some very basic melody, but she can carry a tune.
Excellent. I think this is going to work out great. How much time do we have until the festival?
A couple days.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll be real good by then.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go practice. I'm nervous about being in front of a crowd, especially a Flack dancing crowd. Oh man.
Yeah, they get wild. Don't worry, you're gonna do great.
Oh, I'm so excited! Thank you so much, Flack. Oh my god, this is such a nice gift. And she like steps into the room very hesitantly. Gets close to you and then like with her lizard snout like pecks you on the forehead and then runs away and takes the hurdy-gurdy with her, and you can hear the hurdy-gurdy making little noises as she trots out of the room down the hall.
She's a nice gal.
So that's the team is in pursuit of the prince, I suppose, of this little petty kingdom of the Moonshadow Valley, Henrik Urthedar, the son of Katheria Urthedar and Nils Hoskindower, who are the lord and lady of this region, is missing and very important to the safety of this realm. There is a great evil that is undefined. It has mysterious motives, but is in search of him for some sort of mysterious sacrifice, or perhaps not. And the team has been tasked with tracking him down and unraveling this cosmic mystery of a curse that is plaguing the Urthedar family. And they have some tools at their disposal. A coded journal that was left to them by a wizard named Plintharin Belamore, as well as a ballad written by the bard Majumbo Namsarid, a companion of Nils and Plintharin's.
Can you hear why we tease you about the names?
Yeah, but then when I do like Steve and Bill.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, then you get it from the other end too.
How are they doing,
yeah,
by the way?
The
fire elementals.
Yes. Oh yeah. We have those guys.
Do they live in like a fireplace?
Hell yeah. Our mansion has at least three, right?
At least.
Yeah,
three.
Sure. At least.
Yeah, it's a big building to keep warm.
Yeah, probably most rooms have fireplaces. So they probably pop around, you know, to check in on everybody.
Ooh, can they like go from fireplace to fireplace?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really magic. You rescued them from a volcano that was also an overlap point between multiple realms. So they
can probably live in multiple fireplaces.
Yeah, so they can probably bounce around the fireplaces in your mansion. Yeah, the fire elementals currently are warming the large ballroom and the ball pit where Marjorin is lounging. And they're just kind of, you know, chilling. They don't really talk much. They're used to being alone.
Oh, yeah. They would have been alone for a really long time.
Marjorin just, as she's going through her papers, she's finding if there's scraps or stuff that, like, doesn't really say anything and isn't important, she'll fold it into a paper airplane and just throw it towards the mantle to see if one of them will try to catch it.
Oh yeah, they make like fire hoops and stuff. They make a game out of it.
Yeah.
Oh nice.
I mean, should we participate in some festivities? I feel like we don't know our neighbors that well. And most...
Do we have neighbors?
See, that's what I mean.
this is like the, you know, the wealthier part of town, but there are other large estates up on this like small hill in Acorn's Corner. You do have neighbors, but they're not, you know, every home is kind of gated or has a big hedge fence. It's not the most welcoming area. I mean, when you guys came here, it was to infiltrate a party thrown by an evil merchant who was behind a plot to put the very farmers that the Harvest Festival is celebrating out of business. The other people in this neighborhood, you know, it's kind of a little bit of there's a snobbishness to the fact that you guys have moved in. You know, part of why you haven't necessarily interacted with your direct neighbors, so to speak. But yes, you do have neighbors.
Oh, they think we're new money, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
They look down on us.
All right, so Fletch and Pete walk into the ballroom where Marjorin is. And I say, Marjorin, have you seen Flack? And Zabbis, do you know where they are?
Marjorin looks over at Fletch. Stormy, are you bringing warm zucchini? I've been making so many zucchini casseroles, and your arms are just full of them every time you come in from that garden. What are you doing?
I don't know. Our garden is very rich.
Marjorin, like, clumsily gets out of the ball pit and takes all of the zucchini into her arms and starts trotting into the kitchen.
Roll to see how many zucchini your tiny arms are able to hold on to. Roll a d6.
Okay. Two.
too. Fletch's plant growth has enhanced the garden in the back of the mansion, and you have grown two of these you've grown a bunch of these large, robust magical zucchini, and Marjorie grabs two of them. They are about the size of her, or about the length of her small body. And she carries them like one would carry, like a soldier would carry like a rifle, up against your shoulder. You have one on each shoulder and you head into the kitchen.
I follow.
Fleck's been all over the place. I've seen him upstairs. I saw him downstairs talking with Zabbis. I don't really know what he's up to, but I heard a little bit of music coming from his room recently. Have you checked in there?
I mean, no, I have not. I just came inside with all the zucchini. I'll go run up and check. And then I run up and check.
Brother!
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey! Good. You want to get in on this? This music? For the festival?
Yeah. Yes, I do, actually. I have that drum. We did play that concert for the giant mushroom.
Yeah, you know what? I really think that served as like a warm-up act for this festival that we're going to be playing at. In fact, is this the first festival since we came to town, the first Harvest Festival, or no?
This is the first one that you've been around for sure.
But is it the first one that has occurred since we vanquished Zabem Gregbis?
It's definitely the first time in a little while that they've had one this big, because there have been problems, you know, in the valley when the beacons were threatened and everything that you guys saved, you know, all the crops were affected. Carrot Top and Turnip Top's farm didn't have the yields that they were supposed to that year. Barbara and Streisand and the other halflings didn't have quite the bounty that they had hoped that year. So this is definitely like, This is the return to glory of the Harvest Festival.
Are we the guests of honor?
You are now.
Yeah.
Now that you've went and you've convinced the council in charge of the festival to have a concert, you know, you've kind of steered them in the direction of having this be a little moment in recognition of your contributions to the town. You guys have an inn, you know, on the council, as your former companion Juno Greenpoint is now a big member of the community outreach in the city.
Oh, great. Nice. Yeah. Bud, I think we need to rock everyone's socks off.
I
play the hell out of this festival.
I'm on board. I am ready to do this.
Why do you smell like zucchini?
I just walked in with Marjorie. Our garden has a zucchini overgrowth. It's not really a problem, but we have a it just keeps growing. So we're gonna make some zucchini bread, grill up some zucchini.
We can have some zoodles.
We can have some we could do some zoodles. Yeah. You wanna come downstairs into the kitchen with us?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
You guys return to the kitchen where Marjorie is cleaning the zucchini. Marjorie, when you are interacting with the food that was grown in this garden that Fletch has enhanced with his plant growth magic, roll a perception roll.
I am famously good at these.
Yep, that's a zucchini.
14?
You feel tingles in your hands as you're interacting with them. And
ooh, zingles.
This is weird. This is weird because they're big and long. And I don't like it.
Jeez.
At least they're not eggplants.
You feel some tingles as you're interacting with these zucchinis, and there's kind of a zest, a little spark almost as you're cleaning them off, and the scent is invigorating as you're smelling the freshness of the vegetables and even the water that you're using to wash off the dirt somehow seems as though it's cleaner than when you pumped it out of the pump.
I dunk my face into the water. I take a little sip.
Roll a d4.
Am I gonna heal? One.
You get one temporary hit point.
Whoa!
Nice. Wow,
congrats.
Whoa! Hey, boys, dunk your heads. Take a little sip.
Okay, yeah. I do that.
All right, roll d4s.
Two.
Two temporary hit points for Flack.
I go ahead and dip my head in, and I rolled a three.
Three. One, two, three. Three temporary hit points.
D4s can be hard to pick up sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we have a magic garden.
So this is one of the new mechanics for season 4. You guys no longer have a healer as part of the party. Now that Juno has decided to take up residence in Knight's Pass as a member of the city council, the magics that Fletch has imbued into this garden with plant magic, for a mysterious reason that none of you guys necessarily can explain, has a little bit extra plant magic behind it. There's something very, very special about when Fletch is doing this. See, I'll cut that.
He did it. Don't let him cut it.
Hey everybody, Grussel here with a few quick announcements, and then we're going to get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 105 of D&D&D. Be sure to follow us on social media at D&D&D Pod on Twitter and D&D&D Pod on Instagram, or email us at dndndpod@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in for our season 4 premiere and for our very first episode as a Spotify exclusive podcast. Thanks for making the switch and joining us here on Spotify, a platform that I'm just personally a real big fan of and am excited to enter into this new partnership with as we work to grow the audience of the show and make it the best it's ever been. Want to say thank you to some of our patrons. Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you, William. Thanks to all of our patrons who support us over at patreon.com/dndndpod. We are reworking the Patreon a little bit here as we head into 2021. We're going to start offering new merch tiers. They are some special tiers where we're going to offer some new merch that will be Patreon exclusive, not just t-shirts anymore. We're going to put up some new items over there. So go over to patreon.com/dndndpod and check that out. If you like what you see over at Patreon, as far as merch goes, you will like Beth's shop even more. BethBerad.shop has all of Beth's great art available for purchase, not just D&D merch, but her great bird art and some other stuff as well, all over there at BethBerad.shop. Want to say thank you again, everybody, for making the switch over to Spotify. If you weren't already listening here, we really appreciate it. We're really, really excited to move forward with this next chapter of the show. I've got some great stuff planned for season 4. We're already off to a great start. It was nice to be back recording story episodes with the team after we took a break and did the Table for Twos. Really, really pumped for what we've got ahead of us and can't wait to share it with all of you. So thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, and do what's fun. There's something very, very special about when Fletch does this plant magic, and especially here in Knight's Pass, so close to the forest in the Moonshadow Valley. And now, food that is grown in this garden, food that is prepared in this kitchen, will have healing properties for you.
All right.
So that is something to keep in mind as we progress through this adventure, now that you guys do not have a regular healer as part of the party.
Do we know
well,
this?
Well, now, wait a minute. If a little sippy from some dirty Zook water got us a D4, what happens if I take a big old bite out of one of these guys and I do it?
Hey!
Marjorie's still cleaning it.
Yeah.
Well, it would heal you, but you're not hurt.
How
well,
do you feel,
hurt
tingly?
When I took the sippy sip.
Yes, you feel great. It's super okay. Fresh. It has that nice vegetal taste that that zucchinis have. It's not, it's raw zucchini, so that's a little bit strange, but it's still.
I've eaten worse.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Hey, at least it's not kid, you know?
Oh, God.
Hey, new listeners, I ate a kid one time by accident, though.
by accident.
Kid meat. Yeah. Whoops.
That's true.
That's what's on our fridge. At least it ain't kid.
Yeah, and like the, you know, the eat, pray, love types.
Live, laugh, love.
Has anybody seen Zabbis? We're missing Zabbis in this kitchen.
Is it the basement? Oh.
Yeah, the stairs to the basement are in the kitchen area, so Zabbis can hear the commotion above from downstairs, where he is trying to open that door unsuccessfully.
What?
Just check in where you are.
What?
Do you want some zucchini?
Why are you yelling? Just come down here.
Oh, yeah. All right.
No, it's 3-on-1. You come up here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm busy.
Oh. Zabbis won't come up here, you guys. We got to bring the zooks to him.
We'll just bring one. He's going to bring all of them.
I grab a zook, and then I hop on Fletch's back for a piggyback ride down the stairs.
And I accept that, and I strut downstairs.
Strut, all right.
Margin follows.
The four of you are together again in the basement of the mansion.
I've been trying to open this for like 3 hours.
Oh, really? And Margarine gets her thieves' tools out.
Oh, God.
Oh.
And rolls to open that door. Oh, man. 13?
No, a 13 won't do it. Your lockpicks break in the elaborate magical lock that seals this door.
Well, that's unusual.
I mean, I've just been trying to pull on. I feel like a few more minutes and I can totally get this thing open. What? And I just go back to like yanking on the handle.
Well, have some of the zucchini. Maybe it will make you better.
Do you guys want to wait until I've cooked it?
Yeah, I just look and there's just bites taken out of this. Like, no, I'm good.
I have like a zucchini flake on my
neck. I was just going to say Flack is like mid-bite.
I'll pass.
All right.
It's like as big as Flack too.
Yeah.
I grab my hilt of the Leatherman and mm-hmm. I try to fashion a key to open this lock.
No key will fit this lock.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm looking at that zucchini and just as a, you know, a mischievous teen, I'm too like tall for this, but like if you guys, if either of you two short friends needed to do like a body double swap where like it looks like you're still sleeping, perfect size.
Oh,
what is, good tip. What is he save talking that about?
That's like, that's a teenage scheme.
They could put a zucchini.
You know, like, you know, if we got to sneak out of the bed in the house at night, but you want,
promise you knew how to do this once, Marjorie, but it's just been so long that you don't remember.
You just stick this little zook in the bed.
I am young at heart.
Marjorie pulls out, I don't know where she's been hiding this, but her special teen boy spear.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Oh my God, that's right.
I can wield this. I can use it to hit enemies, and this is made for young people, so.
That's true.
Hey,
I go back to yanking.
Maybe we could try a zucchini to open the lock, because we haven't tried that because it has the word key in it, and maybe some breakfast like zucchinis for breakfast, and that's
okay,
the key.
I'm going back upstairs.
as Fletch just like sticks a zucchini in the lock hole.
Smashed, yeah.
Yeah, nothing happens.
I was like, tell me that zoodles. Works, Gressel. Tell me the key was zucchini all along.
All right, Zabbis, you ain't getting it open. Let's go upstairs.
Yeah, come on upstairs. We gotta.
No, I've been. Wait, you guys don't want to know what's down here? We all live here.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Look, we all live here, but we don't know what is down here. Maybe some of our neighbors might have like a key to this, or maybe they know something about this door. So what if because we don't know.
But like talking to neighbors.
I know, but maybe we could have a party.
I don't know if they like us, man. I think they like that guy that we killed.
So let's make them like us. What if we invited everybody
by
over?
Killing that? Wait, what?
No, I'm not gonna kill. What? I set him down. He's on my back. I'm really confused. I set him down. I turn myself around. No, we're not going to kill our neighbors.
This operation impress the neighbors.
Yes.
I mean, I just get the vibe that they're not going to like us, you know?
What if we carve them things out of the zucchini and give them gifts? Like little lawn decorations made of zucchini.
But isn't that, won't they rot though? I feel like a zucchini, like giving them zucchini and then.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, do we not carve pumpkins every year?
That's true. It is the harvest festival. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I gotta start thinking like, outside the box.
Hell yeah.
Flack, roll a history roll.
Oh, great. That's not bad. 21.
While you were in town talking to people about getting your concert set up,
mm-hmm.
you saw that in Earthadar Square, the main square of town, there was a booth being set up. One of the biggest booths in all of the Harvest Festival is Lavinia Patchfine's pumpkin booth.
Lavinia Patchfine?
Lavinia Patchfine. And her booth, her pumpkin booth, is always the centerpiece of the farmers' displays at the Harvest Festival because she grows such big pumpkins. And you noticed that not only were there the giant show pumpkins, but there was a side booth with a younger halfling. Lavinia is a very old woman, not dissimilar from Margarine. You, Flack, probably couldn't really tell them apart.
Ow.
other than the intense adventuring clothing and ridiculous set of hats that Margarine has.
I feel like there's going to be a parent trap situation later on.
But you saw that there was a young halfling who had a smaller booth with much more manageable size pumpkins where he was carving elaborate designs into them.
Yeah. So carving veggies is a whole thing here.
So maybe we can get him to help us carve. The carver.
Sure. Yeah.
We have money. We have money. Margarine.
What?
Do you remember the money that we put in your bag?
Oh, you have to say yes, because we know you do remember it, Margarine.
Damn it.
Yeah!
don't play coy. All right, we need some of that. They might have to take out some of that money.
Okie dokie. The Bank of Margarine is open for business. Come on down.
And Margarine, like, excitedly runs back to the ball pit, dives in, and then pops out like a teller.
Balls just go everywhere.
All right, I run to the ball pit. Flack, do you know how much money? Flack, are you here? Did you come with me?
Yeah, I came.
Okay, do you know how much money this guy charges for this kind of? Did you overhear anything?
No.
I
mean, I don't even know if he takes pay for it. It might have been just like a hobby thing, you know. Although I guess there was a booth. Did I catch his name? Did he have his name on the booth?
Yeah, you saw that the sign said Gord's Artisan Gourds.
His name is Gord?
Gord Patchfine. Gordon.
Gord Patchfine.
Okay. Yeah, Gordy. I don't know.
Oh, we should go. Let's run into town and go. Is this plan even good?
What time of day is it? Why do I feel like it's night? Is it just because it's night in real life? What time of day is it on this Cures Day?
It is like early afternoon.
Oh shit, yeah, let's run to town, dude.
Well, is this plan a good idea? Like, should we do this with the neighbors? I'm starting to doubt myself.
Oh, that's classic Fletch.
I know.
It's been my experience in my life that knowing your neighbors, people help people. And maybe going door to door and introducing ourselves, you know, more formally, perhaps with a food? People, I've never owned a house before. Do you give your neighbors food?
Yeah.
That might ingratiate them to us. Maybe that'll work out for us on down the line.
Are you saying, like, as opposed to carving zucchini figures and leaving them on their lawns?
I like that idea more. And also, Juno never pulled out his money with me.
Oh. All right, I guess we'll have to
nice.
Split that up or leave it in there to
These pumpkins are true.
I'm gonna roll a
milk
D8.
Boy that keeps on giving.
What's 4 times 2,300?
9,200.
How many pumpkins do you think we can get with 9,200 gold?
A lot.
I think all the pumpkins in the world.
Yeah, we could probably buy gold out.
Yeah.
Stormy, do you want to take another guess at that? All the pumpkins in the world?
Yeah, that's my guess, and I'm sticking to it.
He's getting more confident, Fletch.
There you go. What?
Oh, no.
What was that?
Oh, no.
Did you just mess up my name? Did you just call me?
I have the energy of a young teen boy. Let's go.
Zabbis, are you
Zabbis,
good?
Are you coming?
Yeah.
I'm look at the door. Look at yeah. I guess I'll go with you guys. But I'm gonna see if anyone there can help me. Maybe yeah. Someone has a. I sell. Weird keys, weird skeleton keys booth.
Xavis is walking up the stairs saying this, and there's like a slow zoom in on that door with like a blaring noise that gets louder and louder.
Noise.
Yeah. It's dripping zucchini guts.
Yeah. And there's just a hard cut to the town square as you guys arrive at the Earthadar Square, the central square of town, where a bunch of halflings and some humans are setting up their booths for the Harvest Festival that will take place in a couple days. And in the center of all of these booths is Lavinia Patchvine's pumpkin booth, where there are several massive, massive pumpkins. These aren't just massive for her or Marjorie or any of the halflings. These are easily as tall as Fletcher Zabbis. And dang. As wide as a small cart, some of them. They are impressive. They are most exemplary vegetables, indeed.
Oh, my God.
Zabbis, if we get one of those, then you could do the zucchini under the bed thing.
What?
The zucchini in the bed thing.
Oh, yeah. Also have a finely appointed room for all of my exemplary vegetables.
When you look around for Gord, though, you see the sign, you see Gord's artisan Gord's, and you see Gord. He's working on carving one of the larger pumpkins, and he's approaching it as one of those guys who like cuts bears out of logs with a chainsaw. You know, like
I know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he's got like a really big. It's almost like a sword, and he's like hacking away at this pumpkin. He takes a step back and he looks at it, and he makes another hack. But what you don't see are any of the smaller pumpkins that you had seen earlier, Flack, and that the rest of you had probably expected to see.
Oh, is this because of Fletch's magic?
Why would it be?
Because like instead, like no small ones grew, like they all grew big. Is that what happened? I wasn't trying to be funny. Sometimes I'm serious.
This is making me really want to go out and buy pumpkins. We don't have any yet, and it's October.
Oh, Chelsea,
I want to have pumpkins outside.
Fleck, I thought you said there was a ton of pumpkins here. Why are there only big ones?
There are a ton of big ones.
I emptied out my pockets for nothing.
No. I
can fit a big pumpkin in my pocket.
I'm going to walk around and see if there's any, like, because, you know, even though it's like it's a kind of garden or like kind of grocer festival, there might be, you know, some like other wares. Like it might not all just be food. It could just be general artisans. So I'm going to see if there's any, like, you know, lock makers or just people who do that kind of stuff, metal workers. It's driving me. I need to know what's down there. Especially, like, I just feel like whatever's back there is cool. Or else it wouldn't be locked up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to walk around.
Okay. Good luck.
Bye.
God, this really does feel like a family outing.
Mm-hmm.
that was just such a teenage thing to be like, all right, well, I'll meet up with you guys later.
Bye. Yeah, like, I have to go to the grocery store with my parents, and they're gonna go get food and be in the frozen food aisle, which is always my least favorite thing as a kid. I hated going through the frozen food because it's cold and awful.
It was awful. It's still awful. It still sucks.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go look at the like toy aisle, pretty much. The equivalent of.
Wait, did you say Gordy's not there, even
no,
though
Gordy
with us?
Is there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hacking up.
He's
a
hacking
pumpkin.
At a big pumpkin trying to oh, figure that's right. out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, dude, if we want to know where have all the pumpkins gone, we should probably just talk
should
to Gordy
ask
there.
The man whose name is Gord. Yeah, that makes
all
sense.
Right. Yeah. And maybe he just carved them all.
True. All right. Well, let's go ask him then.
Do you want to ask him? Do you want to take that responsibility?
Well, I was thinking maybe you could because you know him better because you heard.
I don't know him. I just saw his name.
Hello, Mr. Gord. I'm Margarine Sticks.
Oh, yeah, Margarine. Oh, hi, Margarine Sticks. I'm Gord Patchvine. Nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too. You see, I emptied out all my pockets in order to collect some pumpkins and put them on my neighbor's doorsteps. But I see here that there's no pumpkins that would fit in my pockets. What happened?
Oh, well, it was the weirdest thing. I had a bunch of small pumpkins. My grandma, Lavinia, will grow some smaller ones specifically for me to carve. I really like to carve things into the pumpkins. That's how I express myself. And I'm really struggling with this one.
Is his pumpkin...
No!
What's his pumpkin look like?
Yeah.
It looks like a big pumpkin that has been hacked at with a couple.
Oh, so it's not going so well, huh?
He does not know how to use this tool. Yeah.
Dude, that is one of the best pumpkin carvings I've ever seen.
Oh, you got to make him roll
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, roll persuasion on that.
Persuasion or deception?
Ooh.
It doesn't matter. It's plus 12 either way, and I got a dirty 20 with it.
Wow.
Damn.
Oh, well.
Wow.
And Gord like steps back. He like takes a step back and he looks at the pumpkin, and he considers for a minute and he looks at you and then he looks back at the pumpkin, and he's like, "So you can see what I'm going for, then?"
Absolutely, you're right on the right track with it.
You know, they speak to me, the pumpkins. It's I can not literally, but
okay,
I can see, you know, what I want out of them. It's just a matter of revealing what the pumpkin is trying to say. And normally, I'm much more successful with that, with the smaller ones. But the strangest thing happened. I was searching for inspiration, and when I think of pumpkins, I inevitably think of my grandmother, who's so successful in growing them. And when I think of her, I think of some of the weird things that she says sometimes. You know, she's getting up there in years, And you, Miss Margarine, you probably are familiar with some of the strange turns of phrase that older halflings are sometimes prone to exclaim.
And or forgetting people's names.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to focus on the words I do know.
there was this one phrase she would sometimes exclaim, Spadook.
Oh, Spadook, I know that one.
And I, as a tribute this year for the Harvest Festival, I thought I would carve one of those words into the pumpkin. But when I did, they all just kind of carried away.
What?
They just like up and...
Did they like Cinderella grow vines, legs, and walked away? Or did they just kind of roll away? Or what happened there?
Yeah, a little bit of both. It happened so quickly and I was so caught off guard, I didn't even really know what happened at first. It was, you know, I think of my art as giving life to the pumpkins after we pick them, but this was totally unexpected. It was almost as if the word had some sort of power in and of itself, and it animated these pumpkins, and off they went. And now I don't know where they are, and now I have no pumpkins to sell.
You're telling me that you carved the word Spadook into a pumpkin and it left.
Yeah, it's almost as if it became a some sort of cart and drove off.
Well, Margarine,
is Spadook an old person language word?
It sure is. That's exactly what it means. It's a cart.
So if you tried to write Spadook on, like, let's say a parchment or something, would that parchment just get up and go? Have you tried this on other things?
Tried to.
Okay.
Me?
No, me?
Tried to. Yuri, get right on my back, and I turn around, but like my back kind of faces both of them.
Okay, and does anybody have a quill or?
Gord like looks at Fletch and like points at him, and then points
Come
at
on,
himself.
Guy.
I'll do it. He's my friend. I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it felt here. Weird drawing on him.
Yeah,
on
I know.
Man.
I'll draw on him. All right. So take the ink and I write. How do you spell it, Marge?
Spiduk? The letters Spiduk? Are kind of weird.
Can you write it then?
I can show you how to do it. Yeah, and so like Marjorie takes the quill we got. It's
yes.
Not
yeah,
the my knife, right?
To hers. No. Please not.
And then she makes those marks because it is unusual. It's not. It's old people language. It's got its own kind of like vernacular, right? Its own letter forms. And she mm-hmm. carves the word Spiduk with a quill onto the back of Flack.
Jeez,
wait.
God.
Just. Wait,
I said
no. I meant take parchment.
Yeah,
what is parchment
with oh,
you?
I'm
no,
just standing where with the parchment in my hand.
It's not to get fucked.
I didn't want
to
put it on the parchment because that was where you're gonna write it. So I was just gonna put it on
the
skin.
The whole point was I was going to write it on the parchment, and then you just grabbed it and then just wrote it on its back, and I did it so fast I couldn't.
What's happening right now?
You bend over to walk on all fours. You're like compelled to kind of start like walking down the road. You're just kind of like it's you don't really have control over it. You're not transforming into anything.
Okay,
that's a relief.
But,
I was so scared.
Like as you crawl or walk on all fours like past another stall, there's like a.
Hey, load that up onto me.
There's like a stall of carrots, and you like walk back and grab a bunch and just like put it on your back. It just falls right off.
Flack, come back. Fletch needs to write on your back.
No, we know that this is working. Pete, hold on. Pete, go under him and lift him up so he can't move anymore.
Pete, yes.
And Flack becomes like one of those dogs you hold over top of water.
Air paddling.
You can't really control it, but you're compelled to, yeah, like, move goods.
Are you telling me that if I carve the word Spiduk into something, it's going to turn into a cart?
I mean, I think, yes. It is proven now. That was the whole point of this test, was to prove that what Gord was saying was real.
This is just so unbelievable. Pete, come back here. And Margarine tries to erase the word off of Flack's back with a little bit of spit. A little bit of spit on her finger. A lot of spit.
Yeah, as you wipe away the ink and it mixes with the gross spit and just becomes smudges and no longer legible old people language, Flack, you are no longer compelled to behave as a cart.
Oh, that was weird.
That's bonkers. Wait, Flack, where did you want to go? Because maybe that's where the pumpkin's headed.
Where did I want to go, DM?
Ooh, you wanted to go southeast.
I wanted to go southeast.
Well,
that-a-way.
Looks like we got a little pumpkin patch mystery to solve.
Oh, now I'm excited.
Gord speaks up and he's like, do you think you guys could find my pumpkins? This is my livelihood.
No, yeah, we probably could, but question for you, Gord. Why didn't you follow them?
Well, I turned around. I wasn't paying attention. I carved it. I put it on the stack. I was all proud of it. And then I went to find my grandma to show her that I honored her with this word. That she says all the time, you know, go fill the Spiduk. And it's what she says, and I have to go and cart these pumpkins around. And I went to find her, and by the time I came back, all my pumpkins were gone. And now I have to use one of her good big pumpkins to try to make into a sculpture or something, and I got this big knife. Look at my nice tools. And he, like, unrolls a set of, like, a bunch of really nice carving tools that are all very finely pointed and made.
Keep an eye on margarine.
Those are nice.
I have all these fancy tools, and instead I got to use this big knife. I don't know what I'm doing. You were very nice to compliment it, but let's be honest. This is just a broken pumpkin.
You're right. Here, let's do this. If we go find your pumpkins, will you do us a favor and carve us beautiful pumpkins that we can leave on our neighbors that don't know who we are, but we're trying to become friends with them's front doorsteps?
This is the worst bargain we have ever negotiated.
No, it's not. It's going to be easy.
Gort holds out his hand for you, Fletch. He says, you have a deal. I will make you the most beautiful pumpkins you've ever seen.
Perfect. We can save our 9,000 gold.
Don't. Yes, yes.
Wait, hang on. What?
Nope.
That's just old people. She just says things.
Just says numbers. I know how that
is. We only have 92 gold, and that's all of our... We'll go get your pumpkins.
Thank you. And hopefully you can find this Paduk one, because I made it special for my Meemaw.
Oh, we know that word. We'll get it.
Hopefully.
Where's Zabbis?
Cut to Zabbis, who has been wandering the streets of Knight's Pass. You have been searching for a metallurgy specialist or a locksmith or a magic user of some kind. And through the general Earthadar Square, you weren't able to find one. Everybody was more produce-based. So you continue to search, and you find yourself, without even really kind of thinking about it, you find yourself in front of the Striped Tower Magic Shop, which was owned by the old wizard, Quendolin, who you spoke to many, many moons ago. But when you try to enter, you find that the door is somewhat ajar. It's not quite closed. It's not locked. It just kind of pushes open. And the inside of the store is dark. There's no lights on. The shades are drawn. It's a little bit unsettling. Roll a perception roll.
12.
The door, as you push it open, stops only about 3/4 of the way open. Something heavy blocks its path. And you see that there are some papers blowing around as the breeze from outside comes in through the door that you've pushed open. There's a creaking sound as you do. There's a smell in your nostrils, something burnt, but not necessarily fire. It's a kind of magical scent that you're not completely familiar with, but you do recognize as a magical burning. There's a weird sound coming from deeper within this shop, almost like a strong wind or a whooshing.
This seems like a place I want to go. But I can't.
You can get
I
in.
Can't get it?
You can get oh, in. Can. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can get the door open about 3/4 of the way, but there's something heavy on the other side blocking you from opening it all the way.
Okay. Can I squeeze through? I'm very
yep.
small.
Mm-hmm. For sure, you can get in. when you get in, you see this shop that once was organized chaos, now in complete disarray. Shelves are pushed over. Bins are burst open. There are papers flying about as if there's some sort of small cyclone in this room. You get hit in the face with a scroll as it bounces off of your face and continues on some unknown path through the air. The object that was blocking the door seems to be a large bookshelf that fell over, and it seems to have fallen on Gwendolyn the wizard, whose legs are sticking out from underneath it, unmoving.
Oh, shit. Can I check? Let me check to see if she's alive, at least.
We've met her, right? Like, we've bought mm-hmm. stuff from her.
Yeah, for sure. You reach down to check the vitals of Gwendolyn. Roll a medicine check.
I don't think I've ever had to do that. Yeah, that's a plus zero. So. I rolled a one.
Wow.
Oh my God. This is great. You lean down to check for a pulse of this shopkeeper who you once interacted with, this fellow magic user. And when you do, there's a exhale and a cloud, and you inhale this acrid, pungent scent that sends you spinning. You're dizzy all of a sudden. You stagger backwards. Make a constitution check. Constitution saving throw.
12.
you stagger back into one of the shelves that is still standing. You kind of trip over a trunk that has been upended. You slip and fall and slide back against this shelf, where you slowly, in a great fog, start to lose consciousness.
Oh, man.